You are listening to KAYR Astoria Youth Radio.
Here's a tribute to David Bowie. Rest in peace, Goblin King.
And my time was running wild, a million dead end streets, and every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me. I've never caught a glimpse of how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test.
Change. Turn and face the strange.
I'm much too fast to take that test.
Turn.
I'm much too fast to take that test.
Change.
Called to face me. My time was running wild, a million dead end streets, and every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me. I've never caught a glimpse of how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test.
Change.
Turn and face the strange.
Changes.
Don't wanna be a richer man.
Changes.
Turn and face the strange.
Changes.
It's gonna have to be a different man.
Time may change me.
Size, but never leave the stream of warm permanent sand. So the days float through my eyes, but still the days seem the same. And these children that you spit on as they try to change their worlds are immune to your consultations. They're quite aware of what they're going through.
Changes.
Turn and face the strange.
Changes.
Don't tell them to grow up and out of it.
Changes.
Turn and face the strange.
Changes.
Where's your shame? You've left us up to our necks and in.
Time may change me. You can't twist time. Strange fascination.
That was Changes, David Bowie. I'm Kylie Witherby.
and I'm Noah Bastian,
and this is Teen Talk.
Valentine's Day is coming up, and we're going to discuss what to do if you're single, and all your friends are single as well.
During past Valentine's Days, we've all been single, which isn't an out-of-the-ordinary thing for 14 and 15-year-olds.
Also during past Valentine's Days, we've gotten each other presents, candies, and little teddy bears.
We've gone out on... We've gone out on friendly dates, like at restaurants, and have had fun sleepovers.
It's always nice going on those friendly dates and having those sleepovers.
This is a great alternative if you don't have a boyfriend or girlfriend.
I hope everyone has a great... Great Valentine's Day. Single or taken. Now we're going to play a little love song.
You're the light, you're the night, you're the color of my blood. You're the cure, you're the pain, you're the only thing I wanna touch. Never knew that it could mean so much, so much. You're the fear, I don't care, cause I've never been so high. Follow me through the dark, let me take you past the satellite. You can see the world you brought. So love me like you do, la la, love me like you do. Love me like you do, la la, love me like you do. Touch me like you do, ta ta, touch me like you do. What are you waiting for? Fading in, fading out, on the edge of paradise. Every inch of your skin is a holy grail I've got. Find. Only you can set my heart on fire, on fire. Yeah, I'll let you set the pace, cause I'm not thinking straight. My head's spinning around, I can't see clear no more. What are you waiting for?
so much younger than today.
I never needed
anybody's help in any way.
But now
these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured.
Now I find
I change my mind and open up the doors.
Help me if you can, I'm feeling down, and I do appreciate you being right.
Tickets to Iron Maiden, baby. Come with me.
That last song was Teenage Dirtbag by Wheatus. The song before that was Help by the Beatles. And the first song was Love Me Like You Do by Ellie Goulding. Here's the podcast from Mr. Hill's journalism class.
Fisherman, welcome to the podcast.
This week's guest is the recovering pessimist, Mr. Randall, for our special holidays edition.
So let's get started. This is Victoria,
Kate,
and Mackenzie.
So, what do you think is most important storytelling media today?
Definitely film and movies. It's, for better or for worse, kind of become the new novel. Everybody watches them. And we relate to them, we kind of live our lives in them, through them. We talk about stories and break it down and that journey that we're all on. And films are definitely those things that we identify with. Book sales go down more and more a little bit each year, but movie prices
they do?
Keep... Yeah.
But I buy books every
year. Yeah, I love books.
That's what we keep them alive, people.
Gosh.
Keep them alive. Literacy is important. But the average person can identify with films. It's the same things you see in stories. So therefore, a movie and a book is really...
You could see the physical emotion rather than the book.
There's a big debate coming probably right now and in the next 10 years or so. Of Mr. Hill and I talked about this several times. Of the reality is you could probably teach an entire literature class just using film and have the same conversations and still do the same things of writing. It just kind of takes the reading component out of it, which is interesting.
I grew up loving film more than I ever loved a book, and that sounds terrible. There's something gorgeous about seeing the story play out. And I mean, your imagination still takes over after the movie is done, but what you're left with is actually looking at something, and with a lot of movies I've seen lately, they make it into an art, and then they also have a beautiful story to go with the art. I think finding film instead of just books actually helps the storytelling.
I would tell people, I love stories. I think they define us, they make us up.
Stories.
I like books so much. I prefer a book over a movie any day.
See, I'm a book lover, and when a book comes into a movie, I love that. Like, I would go and I'd buy a ticket right then and just watch it. But the part that breaks my heart is when they don't have every single detail.
Oh my gosh,
I know. Or they ruin the significance.
Or they change something.
An author might write their book and how they want their readers to, to understand it. A movie is just showing the public one way of seeing how they can understand this.
That's true, but what a good conversation it creates to be able to take the book and the director or the author of the book, the director of the film, and be able to kind of interplay them and figure out why they're doing what, why they change things, and I think it just creates more conversation. And it might actually encourage other people to read books.
Yeah.
Just keep in mind, I love stories, but I'm still constantly reading three books at one time.
Oh yeah.
I'm a nerd.
I think of movies and books as not the same story. Like, I had to do this especially with Harry Potter. The books are the books, the movies are the movies. Enjoy them separately. Don't try to compare them. It's like comparing apples to oranges. And another thing I have to say is, I believe it's a John Green quote, that the story belongs to the reader and the viewer. The director, in this case, is the reader. And so they're taking on their version of the story. So it might not feel like your book in your imagination, but that's because it's the director's imagination.
Which makes sense, because you're seeing your own thing your own way. Like, maybe the character doesn't say what color hair she has, so she has purple hair in your mind, but blonde hair in the author's, so...
But, I mean, there is still a need for books, so just don't try to
go
delete
to Barnes
them.
And Noble, you guys.
So, now that we have all the books versus movies out of the way, we can ask our next question, which involves the holiday season. What's your favorite holiday movie or story?
Oh, Nightmare Before Christmas. It's just amazing. It's creepy. It's gothic. It's got romanticism in it. It's got postmodernism in it. It's one of those movies that brings bunches of people together. And I think that's rad. And the music's phenomenal.
Oh my gosh, yes. Lastly, we're introducing something new this episode. And it's called What Are We Happy About? where we talk about one thing that we're really happy about that's happened in our lives or pop culture from this week. We're going to say a little quick thank you to the Pop Culture Happy Hour for the idea. Okay, Mr. Randolph, we're going to let you take it away.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to say it's a tie with something from pop culture and from my own life. I introduced, it's kind of linked though, I introduced my four-year-old to Star Wars. And it was a rite of passage. It was amazing. It was not the whole movie and everything, but just clips. And I love that we can go into Fred Meyer and I can, before I even mention anything, I was, look, Dad, it's Darth Vader. And my heart swells with pride. And it's perfect because Star Wars 7 comes out tomorrow.
Yeah!
And it's going to be amazing.
Yep.
It's just cool. And it's one of those things that, it's just really exciting. It's cool to watch people just getting on board with that.
Oh, yeah. I love seeing people get together over something that's not bad.
Exactly. Yes.
I'm so excited, and I just watched, like, last month, I just finally watched Star Wars, and I love it so much.
Go Chloe.
Go Chloe. And I am so excited for 7. Everything about it, I'm just seeing everything show up in, like, news and things about Star Wars instead of sad, terrible
sad
things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kind of nice. It's a nice
totally
breakup.
And it's not, I don't think it's a disservice to what's happening in the world. It's, I mean, finding things to be joyful about, and I don't think it's like some empty thing. Like it, I mean, the fact that I get to go to the movie theater this week and have the exact same feeling that I felt when I was 7 years old and the reissued movie came back out, like that's pretty incredible, and that's worth something.
Okay. Time for the lightning round.
We got this.
Okay,
favorite color.
Favorite color, blue.
Favorite movie.
Oh, Batman 1989.
Least favorite movie.
Man, that's tough. Probably anything Adam Sandler made after The Wedding Singer.
Hot chocolate or apple cider?
Hot chocolate, no brainer.
With whipped cream?
Always.
And sprinkles?
Definitely.
Marshmallows?
Yeah, actually, I would throw a scoop of vanilla ice cream in it.
The best thing you ever bought?
Best thing I ever bought was definitely my wife's wedding ring.
That's adorable.
Thank you.
Dream vacation?
Easy. Go to New Zealand and walk the trail to Mordor.
Favorite holiday character?
Buddy the Elf.
Favorite president?
Abraham Lincoln.
Snowman or reindeer?
Oh, definitely reindeer, because they would beat a snowman in a fight.
Marvel or DC?
DC, because they have Batman and Aquaman.
Yeah, okay.
But I totally like Batman more.
Okay, we want to thank you for your time.
Thank you.
We hope you have a wonderful Christmas.
You guys as well.
And to all those podcast listeners out there, have a great holiday. Be careful. And spend time with those you love. Now, as per usual, we would love it if you give us your favorite quote.
Oh, man. That's easy. It's the book that changed my life forever. The book is Peter Pan. And the final line in the book is when Peter finally realizes he's been a moron for the entirety of the book. And the last thing, the whole book, he keeps saying to die would be a great adventure. To die would be a great adventure. But the last thing he says when Wendy convinces him to go back to real life with him, she says, why are you coming back with me this time? And he goes, because to live would be a great adventure. And I love that quote.
Aww. That was good. I love it.
Thanks for listening. The podcast is an AHS production brought to you by Victoria Holcomb, Mackenzie Burnett, Kate Karna, and Clint Hill.
Graphics are by Raina Christian. Music and editing is by Victoria Holcomb.
We'll see y'all next time as we cast off on our next episode.
You are listening to KAYR Astoria Youth Radio.
This next song is Hello by Adele.
Hello, it's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet, to go over everything. They say the time's supposed to heal you, but I ain't done much healing. Hello, can you hear me? I'm in California dreaming about who we used to be when we were younger and free. I've forgotten how it felt before the world fell at our feet. There's such a difference between us and a million miles. Hello from the other side. I must have called a thousand times to tell you I'm sorry for everything that I've done. But when I call you, talk about myself. I'm sorry. I hope that you're well. Did you ever make it out of that town where nothing ever happened? It's no secret that the both of us are running out of time. So
was Hello by Adele. Now for Teen Talk on the Road.
Bonjour and welcome to this month's episode of Teen Talk on the Road. This month's guests are our foreign language teachers, Mr. Parks, Mr. Baisley, and Madame Pierce. How are you guys today?
Very well, thank you.
Yeah, I'm doing well.
Très bien, merci.
That's good. Let's start asking some real questions now. Would you consider yourself bilingual?
Yes, I consider myself bilingual. I don't speak it perfectly, and I make mistakes here and there, but in general, I would consider myself bilingual.
Yes, I do consider myself bilingual. I like that word itself. I think it's pretty interesting because I think there's different levels of bilingualism. And obviously, some are more advanced than others, but I think in most general situations, I am, yes, fairly bilingual.
I would say the same, that I also am bilingual and that there are definitely different levels and, you know, I don't maybe know construction vocabulary, but I can get by day to day and have in-depth conversations. I think that there's a lot we can learn, but that we can absolutely communicate.
I hope one day to become bilingual.
Have you traveled to any country or countries that speak the language that you teach? If so, could you name them and explain a bit how that was?
Yeah, I actually lived in Mexico for a little over 3 years of my life during three different times. I was a student studying marine biology and aquaculture the first time, the second time I went down, I lived there and I taught there in a local school. And then the third time I went down there, I went and worked on sailboats and fixed a shipwrecked boat.
I've had various travels, I guess, to Spanish-speaking places. My very first one was in high school with my high school Spanish class, which kind of opened the door to the rest of the world for me. In college, I studied abroad in Spain for about 6 months, and then shortly after, I went back down to Mexico to teach for another 6 months. And I've had the experience now. I've been able to take two high school trips back down to Costa Rica to kind of open their eyes to the rest of the world.
I have been to France several times. I haven't been to other Francophone places around the world yet, but that's definitely on my list. I did a study abroad in college and have been back a few times as a tourist, leading groups of family, friends, and students. But so far, only France.
Very nice.
I've been to three states in the United States.
What is it like trying to teach students that are native to their language to the language that you teach?
I will say right now it's really fun. It's also a bit challenging because I have a big science background and I normally teach science, and so this year I am teaching Spanish for the first time. But I think it's actually really exciting to watch students who at first were really scared of the language, and now they're starting to put it together and they're understanding and able to speak. It's fun to watch their excitement.
Yeah, I would love to say that watching the passion grow is incredible. Oftentimes they come in with misconceptions or different ideas, and some of them come in with kind of a negative attitude, but those slowly change and kind of adapt and evolve, and it's really fun to watch them grow and, again, build that excitement, like Mr. Baisley said, and just take a little bit more pride in the language itself.
I absolutely agree. The beginning is tough because we're so attached to our languages that we know well, and so trying to speak in new sounds can be scary and overwhelming, but once you sort of jump that hurdle the first time, it gets easier and easier, and again, watching that development and the excitement, and then the connection to a larger world, that is so exciting to get to be that doorway.
What is an average lesson in your class?
So, I'm not exactly sure what an exact average lesson is. I can tell you that we make a lot of vocab lists because we need to have that vocabulary to speak. But I have them doing a lot of interacting together. I try to get as much talking as I can get with them. And they do a fair amount of writing, a lot of short little writing pieces just to learn how to say certain simple phrases. There are, of course, some worksheets that they work on to practice the grammar. And there's also, we've done a number of smaller projects looking at things like making a weather forecast or your daily schedule at school, things like that.
My classroom is sometimes a little bit crazy. Oftentimes I like to consider it a little bit more of an organized chaos. Oftentimes in foreign language we focus on reading, writing, speaking, and listening skills. We try to incorporate as many of those as we can in a daily lesson. But beyond that, it's usually task-based or kind of a project-based thing because I think oftentimes that connects it more appropriately to the real world in terms of situations and scenario.
I would say I probably have similar lessons to Mr. Baisley to what he was describing with the vocabulary. We take notes. We do a lot of practice. We do a lot of partner work in my classes. But it really depends on the subject as well, because sometimes we'll have the projects as well. And then also depends on the level. The beginners, I do a lot of repetition stuff. And then once we get to the advanced level, we can really branch out a little bit more.
Seems exciting.
What inspired you to learn the language you teach?
For me, originally, it was because I was studying marine biology in college, and I realized that I wanted to live where there was nice, warm water, and a lot of those places were Spanish-speaking, actually. So I started taking the Spanish classes, and at first I was actually pretty scared. I didn't think I was going to do very well at it, and so I just jumped in hoping that one day I would be a marine biologist in the Caribbean.
I mean, going through high school, I wasn't the most incredible language student. I enjoyed it. More than anything, I really loved the cultures. And taking that first trip to Costa Rica with my high school Spanish class really opened my world to culture itself. And Spanish happened to be the best medium for that. So in college, I continued to pursue the love for culture and learning language along the way.
I started out in high school, you know, language requirement, getting to college, that whole thing. And I took French because I wanted to learn Italian, and I thought French was close because nobody teaches Italian at smaller schools. And then I ended up doing study abroad through college because I was a shy kid from a small community, and then the foreign language helped me go through a door into a bigger world. And so just being able to have that doorway to more than the town I grew up in, more than the state, more than the country, that really inspired me to then give that to more people.
If you could teach a classic school subject, what would it be and why?
Well, I do teach a classic school subject. I teach science, and I'd probably keep teaching those.
I would probably say I would move into the sciences. I really enjoy the hands-on approach to sciences. I love marine biology. I'm a scuba diver. I love being up close and friendly with the different sea life. I love hiking and outdoors, so I love the nature around me. So I would definitely stay in the science realm somewhere.
I would do English because I love words and I love literature and poetry. But there's also a little part of me that is intrigued by math because I like patterns. So I don't know. I could go a couple different directions.
What are some beneficial factors to being able to speak the language that you teach?
There's a few of them that I thought of earlier that, first of all, I understand English much better than I did before I started studying a foreign language. It's really helped me get jobs. It's my biggest marketable skill to say that I'm bilingual. I can understand other cultures, I think, more easily because I've lived in other cultures. It's also helped me with Hispanic students where there is a cultural difference, or if any student's from a different culture, I have a much more open mind, I think, just seeing how they behave and what they're used to. Also, for me, some people know that I was rescued by the Mexican Navy on a sinking sailboat, and if it wasn't for being able to speak Spanish, I could very well not be alive today. So that's a huge benefit for me that I could communicate with rescue people.
That is very well said, Mr. Baisley. Mm-hmm. For me personally, again, that love for travel and culture. So being able to speak Spanish specifically opens up, you know, a handful of doors around the world, from Latin America to parts of Europe. Coming from the Romantic languages, it opens up a little bit of comprehension for French and Italian, where I got a chance to backpack. It helped really kind of being able to get through those countries and being open to those cultures. For me, then, it's about the culture more in the end. So.
Yeah, I think I'll echo what the guys have said, is the world is so much more accessible when you can speak a second language or even a third or a fourth. The travel opportunities, the job opportunities, all that stuff. And for French specifically, of course, getting to one of the cultural capitals in terms of fashion, food, certainly. There's so much history in France specifically. So there's a lot that's French specific, but also language as a whole is just so empowering in so many ways, including what Mr. Baisley said, understanding your native language better, whether that's English, or I get a lot of native Spanish speakers that take French because they need a foreign language. To them, French is a foreign language. And so they're able to make connections between French and Spanish, which is really cool. And then that also helps them learn their English better. So it really makes them have the door to being trilingual. And so there's just so many advantages in so many different ways.
Interessante. Our final question is, if you could have a career change, what would it be and why?
If I was not teaching as a classroom teacher, there are a few things I would be doing. I would, first of all, I could be working as a scientist somewhere, doing research in probably an ecology or marine biology setting. Or I might be also teaching, but outside of the classroom. I've done a lot of outdoor education, and so I could easily see myself doing that again, or running an outdoor education program. Those are probably things I would be doing.
Because of the culture and travel, I definitely could see myself having some sort of a travel company where I'd get to guide some people around. I really enjoy just working with people in general. And beyond that, those are the other students and people that know me know that I kind of have a fascination for food as well. So I could see me giving it all up, getting a food truck, and just kind of disappearing into the world of culinary arts.
I want to steal Mr. Park's ideas. Those are fantastic. Travel and food are big in my world, too, definitely. But practically, I think I would, well, you know, not to poo-poo what you were saying, but to be practical on what I would do, I would like to be a stay-at-home mom and spend time with my girls, especially while they're little. I would love to sing more, but that I don't think would be a financially feasible career for me, just a hobby. But if I was a stay-at-home mom, I could have time for that, perhaps.
A special thanks to Mr. Parks, Madame Pierce, and Mr. Baisley for letting us interview them. Adios. Au revoir.
One man, what happened to her plan? She was gonna be an actress, she was gonna be a star, she was gonna shake her ass on the hood of Whitesnake's car. Her yellow SUV is now the enemy. Looks at her average life and nothing has been alright since Bruce Springsteen, Madonna. Way before Nirvana there was U2 and Blondie, and music still on MTV. Her two kids high school, they tell her that she's uncool, cause she's still preoccupied with 1985. She's seen all the classics, she knows every line. Breakfast Club, Pretty in Pink, even St. Elmo's Fire. She rocked out to Wham, not a big Limp Bizkit fan. She'd get a hand on a member of Duran Duran. Where's the mini skirt made of snake skin? And who's the other guy that's singing in Van Halen? When did reality become TV? Whatever happened to sitcoms, game shows? On the radio was Springsteen, Madonna. Way before Nirvana there was U2 and Blondie, and music's still on MTV. Her two kids, they tell her that she's uncool, cause she's still preoccupied with 1985. And bring back Springsteen, Madonna. Way before Nirvana there was U2 and Blondie, and music's still on MTV. Her two kids in high school, they tell her that she's uncool, cause she's still preoccupied. 1985. Springsteen, Madonna. Way before Nirvana there was U2 and Blondie, and music's still on MTV. Her two kids in high school, they tell her that she's uncool, cause she's still preoccupied
with 1985. That was 1985 by Bowling for Soup. You're listening to KAYR Astoria Youth Radio. Now it's time for Cal's Top 5.
Personal best for every half decade of music, starting with 1960 to 1965. Let's get right into it. Number 5, Su Sakamoto, Sukiyaki.
ように思い出す春の ひとりぼっちの夜上を向いて歩こう滲んだ星を数えて思い出す夏の日ひとりぼっちの夜幸せは雲の上に幸せは空の上に上を向いて歩こう涙がこぼれないように泣きながら歩く一人ぼっちの夜ひとりぼっちの夜悲しみは星の影に悲しみは月の影に上を向いて歩こう涙がこぼれないように泣きながら歩く一人ぼっちの夜一人ぼっちの夜
never
That was The Ronettes with Be My Baby and Su Sakamoto, Sukiyaki. We're counting my pick for the top songs of the early 1960s. Up next, France Gall, Les Temps de la Folie.
Nací un 6 de julio en un barrio de Coyoacán. Siempre desde pequeña fui frágil y callada, al igual que una hogaza de tierno pan. De Guillermo y Matilde fui su tercer retoño. Con mi pierna derecha más flaca gracias al polio, viviría parte de mi vida bajo sábanas de óleo. Hacer la creación, el mural de la escuela. ¿Quién diría que amaría y odiaría en espera a aquel joven pintor, cara de sapo, tal Rivera? Pero un día camino a casa empezaría mi eterna agonía.
cuando sin avisar un colega de Tennessee Williams me abrazaría con el deseo de su llamado tranvía. Donde las piezas eran clavos de acero y dolor fijos. Tuve loros, monos y miles de muñecas, pues no pude tener hijos. Aprendí a vivir con mi pincel, mi ceja y mi bigote, y a escuchar que era surrealista. ¡Qué dualidad! Ya que nunca pinté mis sueños, pinté mi vida, mi realidad. Acompañada siempre bajo cielos grises embriagados y muriendo y soñando con mis sandías. Señoras y señores, ante ustedes me presento, Magdalena, Carmen y Calderón. Soy, y les aclaro que también me llamo así, además.
K-Air Astoria Youth Radio. We broadcast live on the third Sunday of the month at 7 p.m.